where's Stephon Marbury in this? He's a real legend over there.
He was the greatest story of all time, son.
He was doing a play. You know he was doing a play. Yeah, and he started his own play. He was doing a play about his own life. And he was acting in. That's wild. So, yes. Okay. Jesus. Who we got?
Shit, bro.
It's a lot. Just from a fucking tweet.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-member of the Nets Navy, Deej Dallas.
Oh, man, we took a turn towards the South China Sea.
Now, as a former admiral, as I pass that title on to you,
yeah.
One of the things that you have to realize when you engage in not only military conflict, but when you first take the first step into military service, right?
Yeah.
Of any sort, whether that be actual or fictive basketball military service, is that you want to believe that you're fighting for the right cause.
Right, that you're getting the best and most moral and ethical directives from your superiors.
Yes, because in all wars, when you're fighting for a cause, your land, your people, it's a lot harder than fighting. Well, not a lot easier because you feel a passion than some ephemeral idea or something that doesn't really have the weight or the backing of the people behind it.
Right, fair.
So, Deej,
yes.
As longtime officers in Nets Navy.
Yeah.
As we've seen our triumph move us forward to gain amazing new soldiers.
Yes, the military buildup has been long. It's been incremental. It's taken some time, but we have the big guns now.
We've got IMDB KDs. IMDB. Terrible. We got Kyrie listening to coughs.
Okay, that wasn't bad.
Yeah. We'll spray you.
I think you were trying to say, what was that? ICBMs?
Yes.
ICBM KDs?
And not IMDBs.
Yeah, not the Internet Movie Database.
Yes, indeed. So we got all the big guns now, and now, but apparently, we're holding them and turning them against our countrymen.
God damn it.
Damn it! How did this happen?
Benedict Arnold was a double agent, a secret agent.
I thought we were the good guys.
It was a Taiwanese agent.
DJ.
Yes.
We have a feed, read, international incident, culture. We have the pod distilled.
We are implicated.
And we are personally implicated. In the most Send the Link podcast topic that in the history of this podcast.
When this shit happened, I was like, God damn. I was like, this shit is just like.
It's got everything. It's got politics. It's got geopolitics.
Yeah.
It's got history.
History.
It's got entertainment.
It's got
the internet.
It's got economics.
It got economics.
It's got the internet.
And of course, it's got basketball. It's
got the NBA, baby. We got the Nets.
And the Nets, specifically.
Oh, man.
If you're not aware, listeners, the NBA has become embroiled in an international incident with the Chinese government because of one Daryl Morey.
GM of the Houston Rockets.
Yes. Who decided to let off what I'd imagine he thought was a mildly political, within America, probably a platitude sort of tweet.
Yeah, he would have got, I'm sure he has thousands of followers. He would have got like 103 likes.
103 is probably.
Is that high?
I
don't know how many followers. I would imagine he has to have a couple thousand followers.
He has
a pretty large profile.
I'm trying to look up the exact tweet that he said, but it wasn't.
No, he deleted it.
I know, exactly. Okay. So I'm trying to find an article. But a meme that says, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Mm. Freedom, standing, fighting, Hong Kong. Which I want to say was within the past week.
Yeah.
And since then.
Well, it was last week, like last Friday, I think. Well, yeah. Isn't it? It should be a timestamp on it, no?
I mean, it's not a timestamp.
It's just the image of the meme.
The timestamp was. I can't find it. I'm not going to.
Oh, well, it was recent. Very recent.
Within the past week. And it's led us down the spiraling rabbit hole of fraying not only the relationship between the NBA and China, but U.S. Sino relations, as they like to call it.
Mm.
How the fuck did we end up here, DJ?
I think you just explained it pretty well. But there's a lot of obvious context and financial implications associated with this issue. And obviously the massive political angle. So Daryl Morey, a very successful, we might add, long-term GM of the Houston Rockets, has brought about just about every level of success in the NBA, with the exception of a championship that has been proven to be elusive for the franchise during his tenure. So that aside, he is a relatively significant figure who helped revolutionize the NBA, for better or worse, to be more cognizant of advanced statistics,
yep,
of trying to augment your roster however so often in order to accrue the most talent, big time deals. A lot of big time NBA stars have worn Houston Rockets jerseys over the past few years as he's tried to put together the best combination of players to put together a contending team. And the core of the team now is Russell Westbrook and James Harden. They are, if things go well, viewed as a contender. And that is in no small part due to the finaglings of Daryl Morey. He's a good GM.
He's a good GM who does his job, and
he's a personality.
He's a personality.
He's developed a Sloan Conference at MIT.
There you go.
So he's a notable figure in the NBA, for sure.
So one thing, too, about Morey, which is funny to me, is that, of course, like you said, he's GM of the Houston Rockets.
Yes.
Right? So the fact that this tweet about Hong Kong and, obviously, thereby China,
mm-hmm,
coming from the GM of the Houston Rockets, has a particular... another backstory, because you're talking about the franchise that is the preeminent, potentially, franchise in China.
Yeah.
With the history of having the first major international Chinese basketball star.
And Yao Ming.
And Yao Ming. Coming from this franchise, so which has since then catered their entire branding around China.
Yeah, including having on occasion those alternate jerseys with I guess Rockets in Mandarin across the front, and that is solely as a play towards the
maintaining Chinese audience. Same, not only color scheme but typeface with the
Chinese whole time. Yeah.
So China was none too pleased
by his commentary. And why is that? Is this a good time to try to catch everyone up on Hong Kong and mainland China relations in 30 seconds?
So, as we go to part two of this NPR podcast, if we go into the history of Chinese relations. So, DJ, the Opium War, right?
Oh, you're going way back.
Boy. Because your boy, Josiah, he felt the need to go way back, apparently. We'll get to that later. But so, a long, long, long time ago, y'all who were not read up on this, the UK was in China, like, yo, we in China, trade with us, right? China was like, nah, we don't want to do that because we're the Middle Kingdom, we don't need y'all. And they're like, nah, fuck that, trade. And then it got to be an issue. So China was like, we're kicking y'all all out. So they decided, no, we're going to still do on the sneak. And then we're going to, you know what we're going to sell?
Opium.
That heroin. Mm. So they're going to sell opium. So China had a wild opium addiction and it was a bad thing. They were mad. They still tried to fight them. And then basically UK won, but they're like, all right, y'all going to give us this right here. We keep it Hong Kong. You can, you know, have China, you know, we'll leave y'all alone, but we're going to do whatever deals we're going to do over here and you guys will deal with it. So Hong Kong thereby developed its own sort of law based upon the UK system,
mm-hmm,
up until the point of 22 years ago, 1997, mm-hmm, where it was transferred back to China under the premises that auspices over the past 50 years, there would be a transition of full stability with the current laws and structure of the Chinese Hong Kong government system. One country, two systems, that their system will be able to maintain beyond the takeover. So, which was, so 50 years has not passed yet. It's only been 22. And there is a bill that includes non-judicial extradition from Hong Kong, which would have people, you know, scooped up and, you know, put into black sites, all kinds of wild shit. And the Hong Kong community does not want it and has been protesting very vigorously, better than any protest we've had here, organized, and enough to push back the Chinese government from basically massacring them.
Yeah, because literally like a third of the people in Hong Kong have been in the streets over the past several weeks. So for a bit of extra conversational context, so if we were to be clear, right, as China of today has progressed since the Maoist revolution of the early 20th century or so, mid-20th century, has become a authoritarian communist country,
right,
with a massive developing economy, up to the point where in the next few years there's going to be a larger economy on the whole than the U.S.
because they are the most populated country in the world,
right, and have a long-term plan, long-term strategy to develop themselves socioeconomically, and do that through literal one-party rule, and as of now, one-ruler rule, as their let's call it their government has passed legislation to basically make Xi Jinping their Chinese premier, the leader of the Communist Party, thus the country, for as long as he wants.
For life.
So, yeah, literally for life. So you have that and that system and that type of society, that type of authoritarian society, which means they do a lot of censorship, suppression, as Brandon said, sometimes different re-education or concentration camps, forced labor, just general control. They are strictly deeply intertwined with every single large company and entity throughout the country. And so regardless if it's your Huawei is Chinese, right?
Yeah,
Huawei and just any and everything that's Chinese. Oh, have you seen American Factory yet?
Yes, I have.
Right. What was the name of the company?
Glass, took my time. Happy, yeah. Glass Co. or something.
It's like Zudong or some shit like that. But nonetheless, they had a whole department in their headquarters, like for when Chinese government officials come in, so they can, you know, sit there and collaborate together. So it's a massive web. You juxtapose that to Hong Kong, which is built on a completely different political and economic system, but still has obvious direct ties to mainland China. And over the past few years, China has started to try to encroach upon Hong Kong's own autonomy and the way they wanted to, you know, rule themselves or have a bit more of a liberal society. Not in a general, like, Democrat sense, but literally, like, able to, you know, speak and do freely as they please. So that said, apparently the backstory to this whole extradition treaty was at least purported story by the Chinese authorities that on an occasion or two, someone essentially killed someone in mainland China and fled to Hong Kong. So that's why they used that as a pretext to try to pass these laws in Hong Kong for extradition. Obviously, people view that as an encroachment from the authoritarian Chinese government, in which they would use that to extradite whoever the fuck they wanted from from China, which seems pretty clear, especially if they have, you know, economic and political dominion over them. So that turned into a match that's lit massive protests over the past several weeks now in Hong Kong, in which you can see in all type of media, in which there are literally not even hundreds of thousands, millions of people in the streets of Hong Kong. I don't even think it's the size of LA per se, but it's a relatively large, like, I guess, isn't it an island? It's an island, right? It's off the...
Well, it's an island, but like the jurisdiction moved onto the mainland a bit.
Right. But yeah, so it's like basically a mass off the east coast of China. And it's I would say it's burgeoning on and starting to turn into even a more of a freedom struggle in which they're essentially trying to push for more reforms and changes and essentially on the whole to maybe even break away even further from China, or it can be construed as such. It seems pretty clear that it's not just about the extradition treaty up to this point. Chinese authorities and those within Hong Kong that are sympathetic to China have kind of wishy-washily acceded to some of the demands. They're not pushing this extradition treaty anymore, but that hasn't stopped a lot of Hong Kong citizens from continuing to protest and continue to ask for more reforms.
And on top of that, how the protesters have been treated by the police, it's so much like going on with that.
Yes, so there has been, you know, military police definitely throughout the streets. So, you know, like you can picture it, you know, with smoke bombs and riot gear and people being attacked. And I don't think anyone has quite died as of yet, if I recall. Maybe one person.
Like one or two people.
Yeah. But on the whole, there's actually been relative constraint because China, even mainland China, the Chinese government, they don't want it to be a massive, they don't want it to be a total mess.
Because in reality, if they really, really wanted to.
Right, they could.
They would.
And one of the things is, they don't have complete control over the media, over Hong Kong media. So if those things were to happen, then they would be broadcast all across the world, and China would be deemed an international pariah. This is different than, when was it, 25 years later from Tiananmen Square, right, when there's literally, what, only like one image that came from that
and
event.
You can't say that or look it up over there.
Right, literally within mainland China. So in Hong Kong, on the contrary, you have more free, more accessible access to media, social media, outside information. So it's tenuous on both sides. And as you said, China doesn't want to make a total mess of it, but they damn sure don't want international interlopers telling them what to do.
Right. So it's funny, because of what international interlopers are doing, an entertainment entity in the NBA, I really wanted to explain to you this South Park episode, which happened before this happened. It's right, so okay. Ridiculous. But we got breaking news, dog.
Oh, shit.
We got the biggest collab since Best of Both Worlds.
Oh, slay.
Who is it?
Within this?
Within the past 5 minutes.
Related to this?
Yes.
Don't tell me Daryl Morey got fired.
No.
Okay.
But somebody, the greatest collab in the history of American politics, dropped a statement.
The greatest? Uncle Joe and Barry?
No, the Hot Latin Remix. Better than Bad Bunny and fucking J Balvin.
The Latin Remix?
Yes.
Who,
AOC and Ted Cruz? Whoa! I never thought I would see it. What was the Gaga and Beyonce shit?
This is like Cardi B and Kid Rock.
Cardi B and Kid Rock. Like that. Yeah. This is the LL Cool J, another one. I'm not a slave. Shit he came out with.
Oh, yeah, that shit was fucking terrible.
Crazy.
Damn, LL was like, yeah, I'll put away my do-rag. That was one of his lines in that song.
Yo, world's going crazy, son.
Oh, man.
It's going crazy.
Nah, man, we coming together, man.
This is what it is.
America.
Congress released a statement in the past hour about this whole shit.
Oh, shit.
It's long. But it is a direct letter to whom?
Adam Silver?
Yes. And as someone who's had nothing but just good grace for all this time, people up his ass, bro.
Like, yeah, it's like, because they like, get your shit together, step in like a little bitch. But he's just representing the owners, which have profit motives.
And they are the oligarchs, which are represented by half of the people signing this. So those are the two main people that are the leaders of this. But I will spare you the entirety of the letter.
Okay, please.
But I will get to the Congress has put some demands for Adam Silver. So, which are four. We urge you to take the following steps. Build on your statement in October 8th when you said the NBA will not put itself in a position of regulating what players, employees, and team owners will or will not say about these issues. Clarify that you support American persons to express a their opinions, no matter the economic consequences. And while the NBA will follow Chinese law in China, that the Chinese Communist Party will respect the American laws and principles and global operations, blah, blah, blah. Two, suspend NBA activities in China until government-controlled broadcasters and government-controlled commercial sponsors end their boycott of NBA activities. Pausing there, since this shit popped off, the NBA is actually in China as this is going on.
Yes, but this preempted this. He sent the tweet before they started going over there.
But they were like, he thought he could slap Maury up real quick, go over there and swoop shit over, and it didn't work out like that.
Yeah, China was like, no.
So China was like, yo, fire this nigga or we'll do what we want. So since then, they've been painting over all this Houston Rockets shit.
I saw that. Right?
Like they got some old Chinese man just with a paintbrush, just like, all right, take this shit down. Got fucking taking Yao Ming down, who's the president of the Chinese Basketball Association.
I know.
So this is the most fire movie ever. So with that, they're suspending the games. The Lakers and the Nets are there now, and they've canceled the preseason games.
Oh, they did.
They're taking down the banners. LeBron was supposed to be, you know, they went to the wall, all that shit. They're taking down everything.
Wow.
So the NBA hasn't left yet because they're like, well, are y'all going to change your mind or not? Like, what the fuck's happening? So they've canceled everything. So suspend and the boycott of all NBA activities and select the treatment of the Houston Rockets and evidence because, damn. The Houston Rockets specifically have been taken out of the Chinese NBA.
They've been like
you know, whenever you post a poster, all the logos, they've only they post 29 logos. They don't. They've literally taken them out of all, like, you can't pick them in your league pass options or whatever, like, thing like that. Wow. They've just removed Houston Rockets out of Chinese NBA coverage. Yes. So, and emphasize the association will stand united in the face of future efforts by Chinese government-controlled entities to single out individual teams, players, associates, or for boycotts or selective treatment. Number three, which people forgot because this happened a while ago, reevaluate the NBA's training camp in Xinjiang, where up to 1 million Chinese citizens are held in concentration camps.
Oh,
niggas forgot about that, but that's happened. A massive government-run campaign of ethno-religious suppression. Clarify in internal association documents that the public commentary on international human rights expression, including Tibet, Hong Kong, Xinjiang, falls within expected standards of public behavior and expression because they've sent memos to ESPN, all these places, to don't say shit.
Yeah.
And niggas have said weirdly, everyone who has commented on it has said something like this. You know, I mean, I don't know enough about this to like really say anything. I don't have to comment. You know, international politics is complicated.
We love the Chinese people.
We love the Chinese people. And yeah. So everybody from James Harden to Steve Kerr to Greg Popovich to Steph Curry to anyone has said something along the lines of that. And considering that that's been said by an organization which has, I mean, stepped out on pretty much any social cause over the past 5 or 6 years, with that being said, this brings me back to South Park, which I wanted to tell you about.
Okay. We're here.
South Park did an episode called Banned in China last week.
Banned in China?
Yes.
Okay.
About...
prescient as always.
Yes, yes. Prescient as always. As Stan has a band, and he wants to develop a rock band, and these agents come to say, fuck the band, we'll just make a biopic already, but we got to get approved by the Chinese censors. So the whole plot is of him trying to figure out how to write this biopic about his band while being kowtowing... to Chinese centers and how they're going to figure out what we're going to say. We can't say this. We can't talk about this because of China. B plot is that Stan's father, Randy, has started a weed farm and he wants to export his weed to China, which is absurd. Okay. He goes to China to do that. And along on this flight with him to China by other American businesses, like all the Marvel characters and at least 5 NBA basketball players on this flight to China to export their businesses. And obviously, the South Park plot gets all crazy and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the essential thing was that he had to do some quid pro quo to allow his weed business to flourish in China, including him along with Mickey Mouse and Disney and the NBA collaborated to kill Winnie the Pooh for China.
Damn.
Who, if you are not aware of this, people mock Chinese Premier Xi Jinping by saying he looks like Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, that's the thing?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a whole thing. And Winnie the Pooh is not allowed to be shown in China.
I think I did hear about that. Yo,
John Watson. So, okay. Prior to NBA did this shit happening, this happened, this show, and which has since been banned in China. And I was like, damn, like, this is funny because if anybody's followed Hollywood a lot lately, everything's about the Chinese market. What can we put in Chinese market? Let's not do Black Panther because Chinese people won't see a movie with black people in it.
Right.
How do we market this? Everything is about China, China, China. And as a hyper-capitalist society, it's interesting, considering what entertainment has done recently, how far we're willing to go to do that for China, considering that it's not like manufacturing or iPhones or something like that where we're doing it for the labor.
Mm-hmm.
We could seek other markets. It's not like it's about cheap labor or something like that. So,
and it's almost just pickup money,
yeah,
as well. These are newly acquired consumers. They're not, it's not a home base there as well.
So, like,
it's room for growth. That's what I'm saying. It's not, yeah, it's not like a detrimental type of thing.
Yeah. So, like the letter is saying here, like, as a hyper-capitalist society, which is, this shit has gone, I guess, to shit, is this the moment where it's just like, are we just going to do anything? Businesses, owners, commissioner who's representing these owners, Hollywood companies, Blizzard Gaming Company for fucking
right.
Banning that kid who won the thing and said support Hong Kong. Is this the moment where, because I guess maybe it's sports, maybe it's just so high profile that people pay attention to it, not like whatever other shady businesses are doing below to fucking give China whatever,
yeah,
that we're filing to stand up and be like, no, fuck China, because we can all agree on that.
We can. This is a uniting moment. Wow, I've never felt so American in 3 years.
Son, I listened to Whitney Houston's Star Spangled Banner today. I was like, God damn. Can't cry out in public like that. Shit, it's beauteous.
Did you follow it up with Lee Greenwood?
Oh, no, we got to bring Lee Greenwood back.
Proud to be American. Slap still. Got to remix that.
Still heat.
She's crazy. But, okay. So, shout out to the Matt Iglesias explainer that I sent to you, like, from Vox, that basically explains, especially a lot of the economic aspects to the story. And I think it's probably good to color in just a couple of those examples that you gave. So, for large pop cultural products, starting all the way back to The Dark Knight.
Yes.
The famous, you know, biggest, well, up until like the Avengers comic book movie of all time, the emergence of the Heath Ledger Joker. There was a large, like, 15-minute plot device in it in which Batman flies to, well, he takes a boat or something. Well, he might basically gets to China to illegally extradite this business.
Businessman back to Gotham.
Back to Gotham. And it was wholly unnecessary to the plot, but they did that for the Chinese audience. That's one example. Yes. Another one is, I remember Interstellar, in which people had to, they had to do a global effort to, for some type of research or some shit. China was included. That was for the Chinese audience. Pacific Rim, same, similar, different outcomes, but similar story to that. And I found out in that Iglesias piece I just mentioned, for the Avengers, within the, what is it, that the Doctor Strange universe?
Yes.
There is supposed to be a Tibetan monk within that universe.
Tibetan now.
She's not Tibetan now. She's played by Tilda Swinton, a Caucasian white woman, because when they screened those movies over into China, that would have been anathema to the National Party stance. So they just nixed that on the whole.
With that being said, also the character of the Mandarin in Iron Man 3 was like an issue. They had to like jump around, and they decided to do like the whole, let's just do a fake thing with Ben Kingsley.
Exactly. So they definitely have effects, and now you have the NBA doing large operations in China all the time. Kobe is a national figure there. I know he and your boy Stephon Marbury both have statues there.
Yep.
Marbury's an actual legend there. He won
CBA championship. Up, say some shit.
He probably gonna be supported by that shit. Sucks. Oh man, damn.
He's gonna say some shit too. Like, this is why I left the NBA, because, you know, Chinese basketball is not about that. It's about togetherness of wild.
Oh my god, you're a writer. Go find the Snickers. Yo,
Brooklyn's own.
Hold
dog.
Up, Brennan, you're more of a writer than me. Go find. We need that quote from Marbury, or at least go to whatever. I guess what you call it, Bassey just got out of jail or whatever. Just did some shit. Get him to have
like a cousin. Like a fucking agent and shit.
The new Dennis Rodman. Yeah, damn, that was like a wild angle. Yeah, where's Zeppo Marbury in this? He's a real legend over there.
He was the greatest story of all time, son.
He was doing a play. You know he was doing a play, yeah, and he started his own play. He was doing a play about his own life, and he was acting in. That's wild. So, yes. Okay.
Jesus, yeah. Shit, bro.
It's a lot. Just from a fucking tweet. But that tweet.
Single tweet.
Took that tweet, that since deleted tweet, just tore the whole Band-Aid off of this.
The facade.
This facade, this. I don't even know about ethics or morals, but I damn sure know it's un-American. This.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, this purported situation that we're in which the U.S. has, especially big companies, have compromised so much of their ethical or American standing in order to strengthen their business ties with international governments and businesses. And if you position yourself, as the NBA does, and so many, you know, representing or speaking to so many different social issues... Yeah, obviously people are going to look at you crazy when you're kowtowing to the Chinese part, to the Communist Party line. Like, you just don't look good. And now, what's his name? Adam Silver finds himself in this awkward position between, you know, supporting his employees, giving a more American approach to it, which essentially what we're trying to say is it's about freedom of expression. Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. You can say whatever you want, especially if it is what you are speaking up towards or against is anathema to the American conception of how people are intended to live their lives. I think that's like a pretty good way to say it, right?
Son.
So you have Adam Silver trying to be American, but also trying to get a buck out of it, because there's definitely, don't get it wrong, there are billions of dollars to be made for the NBA within the Chinese market. But are those billions of extra dollars you're just picking up worth it? Or especially if you're going about it in this type of way. So that's where things stand. I know he's gone through, what, two or three revisions of public statements. And apparently this last one has at least...
It's a little sturdier.
It satisfied his American critics a bit more, because we've seen people from all over the public and political spectrum criticizing him and the NBA on the whole for even condoning this shit. A lot of this, truthfully, there has been a lot of gun jumping because it's been less than a week since this international incident has happened.
It fell on bad times for the NBA too, just for the fact that they're there and it's like it's a spotlight.
Again, the season's about to start. It's one of the major teams and major GMs. It definitely has become an international flashpoint, showing just the might of the Chinese economy, but also just how different the two countries are and supposedly what we're supposed to be standing for over here. So. It's funny, but it makes sense that AOC and Ted Cruz could be on the same page about something. I still told the Obama line that most, like, we all do have more in common than we don't. People, we all get jazzed up about a couple, like the nice grab bag of you know, like national political hot button issues, but on the whole, like we all kind of want the same things, especially when compared to other countries, for sure.
So, with that point, plain devil's advocate, does China have a point?
About which part? About mind your fucking business?
Yeah. Or...
But the thing is, he did that on an American platform, most likely for. He did it on the American platform.
Converse. It's not like we go on the fucking Baidu and be all that shit. Like,
yeah, he didn't grab the mic in the middle.
Y'all don't even let Twitter be over there, will they?
Yeah, the Chinese people didn't even see the tweet. Like, Twitter is banned over there in most cases.
No,
like, literally. That not long ago, no. Oh, so maybe they were like, yeah, NBA fucking with us. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Like, since then, and I really, it's going to happen when the league, the season starts, somebody going to protest. Like,
they
already arrested a kid in the Sixers game.
And that was not a good look. That's what I'm saying. Like, and so somebody, they deserve the criticism.
They kicked him out. But somebody over there got arrested, too, for saying shit like, I fuck with the Rockets. Like, locked his ass up.
Well, we can't do too much about them over there. But all I know is they should definitely not be kicking out fucking a fan at a Sixers game for putting up a sign in support of Hong Kong protests. Like, what country are we living in?
So my question is, you down?
About what? What do you want?
Trying to protest, dog?
What, at a Nets game?
Yeah.
Protest the Joe side?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Go yeah. TV, dog.
So that's the next angle, man. This is how we're fucking implicated. So Joe side, he comes off the turnbuckle.
Wait, hold. Who's Joe side?
Joe side is the new...
Freshly minted
majority owner of the Brooklyn Nets. He just bought it off of known Russian oligarch and wedding dodger.
International playboy.
What was it? Mikhail Prokhorov.
Yes.
Who helped. I was trying to think about like a pejorative way, but essentially they brought the Nets over and developed the whole Atlantic Yards and Barclay Center and whatnot. He was the driving economic force behind that and has been the majority owner of the team since the early 2010s, from what I recall.
Yes.
So he's on the team, but it appears he's just been disenchanted by NBA basketball, especially after the team wasn't successful after making those massive
trades.
Or
enchanted by a big bag.
And not intended by Big Bag, but he already had been like super hands off for the past like 4 or 5 years. Like he was not active with the team at all, or at least not.
He was
not
on the TV and shit before.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, he was like, "Oh, I'll get if we don't win the championship within the next what 2 or 3 seasons, I'm gonna get married." You know, he was like, he had a big public presence.
Yeah.
After niggas didn't win shit, he was like, "Oh, this is not as lit anymore. Like maybe I need to go buy the fucking
go back to Russia.
Buy a different soccer team or something. I don't know." So. Yeah, nonetheless, Joe Tsai, I believe he was what, one of the co-founders of
Alibaba. Yes.
Which is a multi-billion dollar
another
company.
Note, as you said multiple times on this podcast, Taiwanese.
Taiwanese.
So,
I don't even know what the geopolitical angle on that is between the Taiwanese and Chinese relations.
Well, he likes to give a whole history lesson in his statement.
Okay.
Which is, it kind of Euro steps over that, considering that it talks about. Am I interrupting you?
No.
So Joe Tsai has a statement, you know, I guess our leader of Brooklyn Nets.
The leader of the fucking Navy.
We're holding the guns. They're just like, no! Like, shoot them. We can't. And essentially what he posits in it is the thesis of this, is that there are some things that free speech should not broach because they... are third rail issues in certain countries. Yes. So now we're talking about geopolitics. What does it mean to have a certain standard political, just the political structure of one place versus another place? Maybe that's valid. Maybe it's not. But there's this idea of some things are good or bad, which we like to think.
Yeah.
But according to Joe Tsai, free speech, some things can't be too free.
Yeah. Too third rail-y, apparently.
So he uses that and decides he's going to go back and give you the history of how this shit really went down.
Okay.
This third rail issue is about supporting a separatist movement.
And that is a politically tinged way to describe these Hong Kong protests.
Yes.
For one. Whether you agree with it or not, that is not like a complete black and white description of it.
So what he does, he talks about the opium wars in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. This is the perspective. All the different countries that China doesn't fuck with. Japan, Russia, Britain, France, they all came in here fucking with China. We don't like that. Then
are you paraphrasing him?
A little bit.
Okay. It's like, oh, he just talked like a nigga. Okay, cool.
And then we're talking about World War II when Japan came in there and took over China and controlled them and whatnot. So I'm going on, quote, I'm going into all of this because a student of history will understand that the Chinese psyche has heavy baggage when it comes to any threat, foreign, domestic, to carve up Chinese territories. When the topic of any separatist movement comes up, Chinese people feel a strong sense of shame and anger because of the history of foreign occupation. Blah, 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 Daryl Morey, blah, 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 blah. I hope for the league to move on from this incident, and I will continue to be outspoken NBA governor on issues that are important to China. I ask our Chinese fans to keep the faith in what NBA and basketball can do to unite people from all over the world. So what makes me frustrated about this? Mm-hmm. Not only is I'm clearly a Chinese government shit.
Right. Yeah, because he has to be.
But the idea that you're going to give a history lesson, inaccurately, mm-hmm. mind you, which belies your own heritage.
To be clear, you said and accurately.
Inaccurately.
Oh, inaccurately. That's what I thought about. I was just making sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, listeners, as a history buff myself, the China he was talking about, mm-hmm. the China he references in the history lesson, is Taiwan.
Okay.
Because post-World War II, everybody that was fighting for that, the legacy of that, the Qing Dynasty talks about in fucking Opium Wars, that all led up to happening post-World War II, where the communists came and there was a civil war and chased the motherfuckers off to Taiwan,
okay.
where his family is from.
Right.
That the Chinese government has been there since fucking like 1948.
Right.
So the Chinese government that is here and the people there may understand the legacy of everything that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that this is a geopolitical issue that maintains a historical thread throughout this whole thing is specious, even in his own logic.
Especially not considering it was from the GM of a basketball team, of a tweet that was deleted. This is not a policy stance from the president.
Right. That's absurd, even which Trump did the first couple of days he was in office. Remember, he was like, yeah, I talked to the president of Taiwan, which he's just not supposed to do.
Right. Because they're not recognized as their own sovereign nation. Yes, right?
Chinese Taipei.
Right.
So that was annoying in and of itself for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're getting into this idea that separatist movement, the Chinese government is a separatist movement according to your own history of where your people are from. So it's just a little interesting that he would do that. And this man is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets. So I sent DJ, someone posted some satirical shit on the Barclays Center, right. which is sort of just talking about how we're not supposed to do shit, be ready.
Right. Yeah, if you see anyone protesting, call Josiah. It was a satirical take and puts us somehow on the within this maelstrom of geopolitical conflict and civilizational economic structures and political structures and authoritarianism versus I guess the burgeoning of authoritarianism of the United States. But
I was trying to find it.
What?
The shit that they posted up.
Oh yeah, I have it. I pulled it up in a moment, but yeah.
But it's just like, damn. So now we're as we head into this NBA season, the NBA is under the spotlight. You had this shit that's happening, and Trump made his first comments, and being who he is, he did not take the opportunity to be a unifier or whatnot. He took a weirdly perverse stance,
small or petty.
Yes, but also with his own constant discussion of we hear things about him saying that, oh, I support China and whatever. He said that already. But they can do what they want over there with Hong Kong. I talked to Xi. Yeah. His relationship with Xi is about, I fuck with you. We got to do what we got to do, but you keep dictating, nigga.
You do what you do over there. I'll do what I do over here. That's what you're saying. And right. I won't say anything about it.
Right. So, which defeats the purpose of him going to say, Steve Kerr, he seemed like a small boy over there.
When he was asked about it, right?
When he was asked about it, he decides to sort of give snarky remarks about Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich because, of course, they've been political in their statements before, instead of actually rounding the country, which results in, I guess, a letter from Congress instead.
Right, instead of the president who's supposed to be leading the nation. It was a missed opportunity, man.
Yeah. It was his chance, and he could have got the black vote.
Could have got four more black votes, just four more niggas. It would have been hype to finally see the symbol. Okay, but just taking a step back for a moment, I will read the note that was posted on the front of the Barclay Center.
Please sir.
You are now entering, oh, it says, please be aware. You are now entering a zone where disparaging talk about the People's Republic of China will not be tolerated. If you are heard making such remarks about China, you will be removed from the premises. If you hear a fellow fan, friend, or family member insult China, you can report it by calling 732-903-8251 and receive a 10% off your next NBA.com purchase. Visit NBAforChina.com for more information. Hashtag NBA for China. Thank you for your cooperation. Sincerely, Adam Silver, NBA Commissioner.
Crazy.
So, yeah, it's rubbed all different type of people the wrong way. But the NBA will always be based here. And they have to know that. It's not about fucking China. At the end of the day, fuck China. I would be happy going, like, I think there've been, this has been a rough time just internationally, obviously, these past few years. But it's been clarifying in a large sense for which things work, which don't, which relationships work and which don't. And there's starting to be a bit of a consensus on some of these things, at least on a mainstream level, not maybe, you know, the complete right wing agreeing with the complete left wing. But the two largest, well, three maybe largest ones, especially with the way they're acting, is one, China, and shit like this, in which they're using the economic might to impose their authoritarianism on large U.S. companies publicly. Nah, I don't think that shit's going to rock.
And publicly and flagrantly.
And flagrantly. Y'all painting over Rockets logos? Oh, nah. Like, nah. Like, yeah, I mean, unless the NBA just wants to bitch out, people are not going to like that. Second one is Saudi Arabia killing fucking journalists and shit. And we're no longer as dependent on Saudi oil as we had been. So
fuck them.
So that's just about to be out the way. And in a similar way of hot button type of issues that is third rail and you can't talk about it is fucking Israel. And
everybody's kind of like,
because you want to be, you know, not even politically correct. You just don't want to step on the wrong toes. It's a very sensitive thing between these literal 1,000-year-old religious struggles happening there on this contested land. But at the end of the day, like in terms of brass tacks, the situation over there is fucked up, no matter which way you view it. And this complete right wing and also corrupt direction that Netanyahu had been like bringing the government and on his own,
and he got voted out, correct?
It's weird okay. As of right now, but yeah, apparently so. That wasn't going in the right direction as well. So it may not be in the Trump administration, but any subsequent sets of Congress and, you know, executive branch, these type of relationships are not going to stand in the same way as they have been. And it's probably been a long time coming, especially as the U.S. taking a leadership role probably will want to rein in countries like Saudi Arabia and China if they are trying to lead in the fashion in which they are. Unless we're cool with it. And I don't think on the whole Americans are cool with it. I don't think we're cool with this authoritarian shit. I think there's been like a bad phase going on, but people are kind of wising up to this. And that's why there's been such a strong bipartisan backlash against the mealy mouth response that the NBA gave. The owner of the Rockets, Tillman Fertitta, who had just...
He was kind of like, yeah, you know, fuck Maury.
Yeah, he threw him under the bus first, and then there have been leaks saying that he was considering just firing him just to appease his you know, right. Chinese benefactors. Which we see in a coldly, you know, capitalist economic sense that, yes, if you're trying to make as much money possible, then you're going to do whatever your customer wants, essentially. But what comes first?
Or money ain't good money, baby.
I mean, maybe, but what comes worse or first, or what are we prioritizing? Is it conjoined at the hip? Is it, you know, these freedoms that we, quote unquote, supposedly at least hold seriously, hold you know, closely? Or is it just making money all the time? I don't know what came first in the conception of the country. I honestly don't. But
especially for like something as trivial as this, is basketball.
Yeah, it's fucking basketball.
It's like this shit is not. It's not some sort of oil deal where like, oh, we need this to maintain our country.
No,
like,
or no, that I don't want to one up you, but if like military shit, I get that a little more. Yeah. That's skeevier, but that's you know, life and death. It's sometimes it's just keeping stability across, so there's not, you know, international contagion. You know, shout out to the
medical union. Technology, all kind of shit that's like,
yeah. So it's not fucking basketball, not movies in basketball. You know, American culture
fucking is video games
and video games. You know, the American culture is the best export we have. We don't need to be adulterating it or corrupting it to appease whatever, you know, China says, especially if you have to go out your way to do so. I don't mind if they have to have some ridiculous Batman extradite somebody from China plot every now and then, but anything more than that, it's like, come on, son, like, let's be real.
And pivot to India, y'all. It's there. Yo, they had the India games too last week.
Yeah.
Pacers and Kings went out there.
Oh, shit.
So, you know.
You know they're trying to find NBA players out there.
Almost.
And then, fuck, they.
There's enough. There's a billion of them.
There's enough. There's enough. Shout out to
the Philippines. They like
Philippines,
the hoop.
All the developing.
Southeast Asia, Africa.
Yeah, all the developing African countries.
Fuck China.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, come on. Like, we could do better than this. Over fucking tweet.
The last thing I want to mention about this, because we didn't mention it, considering that how all-encompassing, I guess we touched almost everything. The NBA had just signed a deal with Tencent, Chinese broadcaster, which was going to say the end of July. So upwards of almost $4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be funny, considering what will be the aftermath of this, especially all the trickle-down of all the players, mm-hmm. and their individual the benefits they've had from going to China without having to have because the players, mm-hmm. being apolitical, typically don't have to manufacture this or worry about this sort of issue. Klay Thompson runs around China every summer, answer shoes. He gets
hung trying to dunk that one time.
All that kind of shit. So it's going to be funny to see, oh, is the salary cap going to go down?
Mm.
All these kind of things like that. So,
yeah, they're going to definitely, everyone is going to be asked these questions. There's no telling whether they'll respond, how they'll respond to them. I'm sure there's some type of middle ground line that can be stated or some apolitical type of shit. But in terms of actual actions, there has to be a bit more clarity on that.
Damn, what's Yao Ming thinking right now?
He probably tight. I think they painted over his jersey. This nigga's like, what the fuck? I'm Yao Ming. What's good with you? Oh, damn, there was just something I forgot about. Damn, what was I about to say? God damn it. Damn you, Brandon. We did cover most of this shit. I think we did good. What else we got? Maybe it'll come back to me.
Oh, so are we moving on here briefly?
I mean, do you have anything else?
I mean,
I know it's just a lot, but
yeah, I guess we gotta put down our arms, man. As members of the Navy, we gotta be, you know, conscientious objectors. Yeah, man.
I mean, I was a conscientious objector to this next season anyway. On the whole, because we already know how, like, I guess you haven't quite done an NBA preview.
That's what you said last year.
That's a weak cop-out.
I was telling you to believe. Remember that?
You did. But now we got the star power, but we have, like, half of the star power. Next season, then it's lit. Josiah might really be popping off next season.
This nigga's going to move to America and denounce the citizenship.
So, damn, what was I just about to say about this fucking Chinese shit? China. I don't know. Go ahead. It's all right.
It's been a deep pod, so I want to talk about this for a second, but let me just check something.
He's checking the time.
Yeah, because I want to know how much we have left before the timer. I wanted to briefly touch on American culture prospect, one that does speak about, I guess, the drugs of our society and how do we navigate hyper-capitalism. Because the Gotham City in Joker is a city that I feel like was born out of, if the NBA says, sure, China, we get, that's when Gotham was born.
Okay, can we pause it? Because it actually did come back to me.
Yes.
Because you were talking about how these type of things will individually affect NBA players.
Right.
So this does have a long-term potential effect on everybody's favorite, every NBA nerd's favorite acronym, BRI, basketball-related income.
Yes.
So if they were, basketball-related income is literally the summation of all of the money that the NBA makes from all of their deals. And it is, I forgot what the actual splits are. It's like, what, 49, 51% or something like that? There's some relatively even split. And the NBA players get one half, and the owners get the other half. And that number on the whole, generally speaking, increases every single year based on inflation, based on ticket sales, based on the deals that they make. So if and whenever the NBA makes, you know, like these mega deals with ABC or whatever to continue for that network to show their games for, you know, until 2027 or whatever, that gives a pretty large bump to the BRI, thus raising the salary cap for each of the NBA teams. And this is actually how Kevin Durant found his way onto the Golden State Warriors at one point in time, or was part of a series of, I guess we can say, unfortunate events, because at the time there was a large bump in the BRI, thus the salary cap,
yes,
which allowed the Golden State Warriors to have just enough cap space to make the sign-in. I think it was a sign-in trade, if I recall correctly, the trade for Kevin Durant. So essentially, if they break their relationship with China, like cold turkey, or at least if China's not fucking with them as much, if they aren't able to make as much money as they could have, then it will affect the salary cap.
So
there are definite economic effects.
As this story goes on, I've got three more sort of reports of things I've seen. 10-10 wins. So here's a reporter, Keith Smith, shout out Keith Smith NBA. Apparently, prepping scenarios to five different teams he's spoken with. We're talking about 10 to 15% lower than the projection on the cap, mm-hmm, which is at currently $116 million.
Mm-hmm.
Also, 7:36 p.m., which is past 30 minutes, Lakers Nets tomorrow, Thursday, in China, is a go.
Oh, it's lit.
Thirdly, and I know you care about this because this is like one of our, I mean, I think I might have to become a Navy member of this organization.
Oh, shit.
Big Three China Tour has been postponed. Yes, bro. It was scheduled for the entire month of November. And now I don't know what's going down.
Yeah, Ice Cube said, I don't know.
He's like, yeah, Ice Cube got morals. He's like, that's my president.
I'm from Compton. I got morals. Damn. You know, you can always have, you know, directional thinking or conceptions of things. And to think that they're going to China to appease and perform for the Chinese fans is unfortunately fanciful, just by the way that the society is built. They don't have to. If you're not kowtowing too much, it's fine. But any type of appeasement to the Chinese government is unacceptable.
I kind of don't want to talk about this Joker shit now. I kind of do, but I kind of don't. Such a like a fucking.
She was a special.
It felt like it was special.
It was a special report.
And you didn't see it, but I will.
We don't have to.
Yeah, go see it, people. It's good. I liked it.
Okay, you enjoyed it. Good.
That's my note.
All right. Wow,
that's fucking Navy, bro.
All right, and the corny concern trolling that happened in the whole take is fear that was it was overblown or.
It's just about mental illness, man. It's a good DC comic book movie. Great. Well acted, shot all over New York and Jersey, like great, you know, gritty shot. Kind of feels like a Taxi Driver type thing.
Yeah, that's what he was going for. That and King comedy, right?
And he pulled it off.
Brian Phillips
and a lot of interesting cameos. Great plot. I mean, everything. It was a good movie, man. So yeah. So don't rise up and riot about China, people. Or maybe do. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I didn't make no statements. Niggas ain't put me in it. Fucking take my organs. I need them.
You're not becoming a generic over there. There's no generic version of Brandon.
I'm sure.
Brandon with this, but with an I at the end.
I'm sure niggas got me out of polyester and shit.
Yeah. Less dense. Yeah, man, I don't know how that Chinese shit be, man. Stealing IP.
Man. Fuck China.
We're gonna leave it at that.